My mates just texted me and go, did you tell them the incest story? That's pretty good.
Hello and welcome to Worst Foot Forward, where we celebrate the best of the worst. I'm Barry Maxtay, and each week I, my co-host, and our guest propose our candidates for the title of the world's worst something. This week we will be chatting about the world's worst housemate, and it is coincidentally our first episode since the birth of my co-host's child. And believe me, there is something truly terrifying when a tiny human suddenly appears in your home, naked and vulnerable, constantly demanding food, pawing at your nipples, crying for no reason, shitting uncontrollably, and ruining the best years of your life. Still, we needed to record the show, so he's here anyway. It's my co-host, Ben van de Velde.
Hello.
Are you right?
Yes, mate. I'm bloody delighted.
How's your baby? Your baby's been born, like, for, what, a month now?
No, he's three weeks.
Three weeks.
The baby's been born for a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hell of a labour.
Yeah, I mean, how much of it's out? How big's this child?
It's a Lovecraftian Leviathan. It's being pulled out. I was there in the theatre and the consultant was going, oh, hail the Elder One that is coming out of van der Velde's wife.
Cthulhu, Cthulhu.
Yeah. Yes, is that an umbilical cord? No, it's another tentacle. Keep going.
But given they were listening to episodes where we were talking about the imminent arrival, yes, of your baby, despite the fact on Twitter we had said your baby had arrived, I think it'll be quite a nice surprise for us to talk about the birth in the past tense.
Yeah, it will be.
When you announced it on Twitter, how many people liked it? How popular is your kid?
I got a surprisingly large amount of retweets and likes.
Yeah. How low are your expectations for your child that you would say his surprisingly?
His child went viral.
No, on
Christ,
away.
Put it back in your fucking incubator. It's not well.
My baby will be, it's going to rebel against its tax lawyer mother. So it's probably going to be an anarchist.
Well, that's the thing, because you, tax lawyer wife. And comedian husband.
An octopus.
Wait, how do you rebel against
an octopus?
How do you find the middle ground between tax lawyer and comedian?
Unfunny poverty. Your son, the humourless bum, I think you'll find. I hate to predict its future, but imagine with eight fucking arms, imagine the panhandling on the boy.
Yeah.
I'm petting the dog that I shouldn't have.
Able to beg around corners.
Yeah, there we go. One's looking for a hostel, one wants a cup of tea. That's a big day.
Yeah.
Just wandering round from carnival to carnival. desperately saying setups with no punchlines.
It's not that far a rebellion.
Shots unnecessarily fired.
Well, of course, for you it'd be heaven because you'd be looking at your child, looking at, you know, eight pairs of arms going, my God, you know, well, sorry, eight arms is four pairs of hands, so imagine the applause on that.
Yeah.
But then the child would never clap because it doesn't like your comedy.
Well, no, but
it'd be like going to work, Ben.
Oh.
Etc.
Octopuses can't applaud because as soon as you applaud with one set of tentacles, the suckers get stuck together,
That's the sound of one octopus clapping.
Yeah. So, speaking as a father, I'd like to...
I love it. That's so good.
I look forward to playing this recording at his wedding.
Not the mitzvah?
He's not getting a bar mitzvah.
He's not getting...
No, well, his mum's not...
she's not allowed.
She's not Jewish. And also, just imagine having to circumcise an octopus. Eight different tentacles.
What? You don't circumcise the tentacles, though, surely.
I mean, how busy is the rabbi? You know, oh, no, I don't have time to do more than one.
I would enjoy watching the fight between a rabbi and an octopus saying, get away!
Yeah, I like the fact that a lot of what you say sounds like the setup to a classic joke.
Yeah.
So anyway, the rabbi and the octopus are having a fight. Actually, I'd go to that pub.
No,
you run down the rabbi and octopus?
Yeah. It is. That's less a joke, more of a parable.
Are octopi kosher?
No.
No, because they're from the...
They're from the sea and they don't have scales or fins.
Okay.
Scales and fins is the rules.
Right.
That's right. When you get a chicken with scales and fins,
you're allowed to eat that, yeah.
Beef with scales and fins?
Yeah, fine. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, and also, if the octopus doesn't chew the cud or have cloven hooves.
Mm. To be fair, if an octopus had cloven hooves, shit, you'd go deaf. just this constant.
Yeah, but you'd hear them coming.
Yeah, but they'd be able to come because they'd walk on the fucking land. Yeah. At which point it's every nightmare. What are these wet spiders coming towards us?
Essentially the War of the Worlds aliens then, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. There we go, these wet cloven-hoofed spiders. What are we going to do? Well, the Jews can't eat them.
Get all the other religions to eat them instead.
Quickly, run down the theology. The atheists, we're hungry too. Oh, shut the fuck up. You're always talking.
We call it Operation Calamari.
Nice. Anyway, speaking as a father...
Just while we're here, a silence followed by the word anyway from someone else is the most damning thing I think I've ever heard to an attempted joke. That was amazing.
That wasn't an attempted joke.
No. His one, we all called it Operation Calamari, and then Ben's like, putting a button on that one. Yeah.
That's fine.
Anyway.
That laugh will be cut into it. Yeah.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah. You can't kill an octopus, but Jesus, you can edit it.
Guess who gets to edit this episode? make a really obvious like edit cut sound in it as well, so the audience are left wondering what was left out.
No, the edit cut sound will just be your sound of the octopus going.
Thank you, Editor Octopus. Again. Yeah. Editor Octopus.
The Editor Octopus. That is the god of a very strange religion. There's the invisible flying spaghetti monster. Monitor.
Yeah, is the Editor Octopus the one that shoots at Tipex?
Lovely.
There we go. That's
thank
excellent.
You. Thank you.
James. Oxbridge in the 60s is calling. Yeah. You got like another four white mates?
It's fine. Hey, I'm a walking Radio 4 panel show.
Well, because you're a white man and no woman will come near you.
Yeah. Oh, how are you, Tim Brooke Taylor? Is he still with us? Yeah. Great play. Don't know him.
Normally, I would do a hefty rundown of our guest, but basically, as you can hear, he's a comedian, he's an improviser, he's Australian. He created a ridiculous live-action text-based computer game called The Dark Room. He's very opinionated and very funny. It's John Robertson.
Hey.
Yeah, so let's throw all that nonsense away.
Yeah, you want to edit in some applause at that point? Yeah. That was a really lovely intro. Thanks, pal.
No worries. I mean, John is one of my favourite people to gig with, although difficult for me to gig with because listeners who've watched me do stand-up will know, I like a lot of manic crowd work. Guess what John does? So it's very much a competition of who gets to go on first between us.
Well, not really. I mean, you go on. You don't do the stuff that I do.
No, it's very different.
Yeah,
sort of
which
crowd
is nice.
The last gig we did together in Plymouth, where you did your shtick of nicking pints, which was lovely, and then nicking someone in the front of his pint and necking it and being very alpha with the audience, and that was front page news in the Plymouth Herald newspaper the next week.
Comedian steals drink.
Yes!
Three times I've had like local papers say what I do, right? They're like, John Robertson steals pint, survives, right? That's what John Robertson calls venue toilet. Right? That was it. The venue was like a toilet. That ended up getting written down. I'm like, I sound like the most witless motherfucker who's ever existed. Yeah. and the one from Bratislava, which is really quite nice, which is mostly focused on an open micer literally committing a hate crime before I come on stage because he lost command of the English language and he wanted to do some really like dark, heavy shit. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen his opening line and it was meant to be, is anyone here from outside the country, right? Why are you here? This is a shit country. But he got on stage and there were 300 people and they were deadly silent and there was like a dog that barked, you know, and a baby that cried and just the fucking worst. And he lost just control. Instead of, is anyone here from out of the country? He just barked, is anyone foreign? And the crowd, you know, the most multicultural, it's fucking Central Europe, you know, like the most multicultural crowd you can have. We're like, yeah. And then he just went, fuck off! You know, so I was like, oh, fuck me, this is another 15 minutes of this. This is going to be great. Dog's fucking whimpering now. That child just won't stop crying. It was the fucking worst. And that's what got written up. But what I snuck in, because they went, John Robertson, with his cheeky and charming smile, which I've never...
Cheeky and charming.
Cheeky and charming. Made a pleasant contrast to the earlier talk of genocide.
Yeah, very much. Very, very much. You know, like, thank God that John Robertson was smiling that time. Really took my mind off this accidental Nazi thug that opened the show.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally...
The Accidental Nazi is a film I would watch.
Is it?
definitely.
Really?
Yeah, I would like.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your movie.
So. An accidental.
Oh no!
Accidental.
Like, what a comedy of errors!
Like the Santa Claus. Someone wakes up one day and discovers and that they've grown the
Hitler. And they're Hitler.
There's always got to be a Hitler.
They accidentally kill Hitler. Oh yeah, the Russian guard who found his body.
Oh no! Nein! What is das? Nein! He shaves it off and the next day it's grown back again.
Ark! What?
Played by Tim Allen.
Yeah, Ark. You're making the home improvement noises. Yeah, just like. And then he throws the arm back. Jesus Christ. Yeah, alright, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then Hitler keeps living all the way through to when the Berlin Wall's built and Wilson's on the other side of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, just popping up periodically. Yeah. I work in the collective farm. I have a lot of advice for you. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'd watch the accidental Nazi movie. It's not bad. It's pretty good.
speaking of things that are pretty bad, what are you the worst at in the world?
Brevity. No, that'll do.
Yeah. As demonstrated by this intro.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Done.
He was run over by a car once and the car grew a moustache. Jesus, the horn on this thing's loud.
the hood keeps popping up.
Yeah, yeah.
So as mentioned, this week we are talking about the world's worst housemate. Ben, you've just birthed a new housemate. Have you injured yourself yet?
No, the hardest thing for me is they say that you're meant to do skin-to-skin contact with it to get, like, yes, a close bond with it.
Probably not call it eat.
Good point. Yeah, but I can't look down and think that's a he, it's an it. Also, I've put lovely little clown makeup on it and attached the red balloon to its wrist. So, his shit!
You shouldn't impose a gender on it, Ben.
Clown is not a gender.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
There's 4,000 people of our community.
I'm pretty sure it is. That's not a bad thing at all.
But I've done skin to skin with it, and he'll look up constantly, and he's like, "But there is no milk in any of the possible orifices here."
Go on, talk to us about worst housemates.
Jesus Christ! Firstly, one that I sort of sympathise with. There's a few years ago, a woman from South Carolina was charged with domestic violence after allegedly stabbing her roommate for playing the Eagles on repeat. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Who's the worst housemate in this arrangement here? Because, I mean, the stabbing seems normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They just weren't good for each other. Seems to be. How long had this housemate been playing the Eagles on repeat? Was it just one song?
No, I think it was all day.
Okay. This house, you can check in any time you like.
Yeah. Unless it's on a stretcher.
Take it easy!
I started looking up stuff all around squatting and things like that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and I ended up going down a rabbit hole, I think, of punk houses, which are often squats.
Well,
which
a rabbit hole would be great to squat.
It would be at first, but it would fill up pretty quickly. But I didn't know that, but like punk houses was basically punk bands. It was like the punk equivalent of a hippie crash pad, where entire punk movements would all descend on particular houses in cities in Canada or Australia or America or Britain.
Hmm. Wasn't there a famous one in Russell Square? I'm imagining that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know if
they won the rights. That was, yes, is that those guys? So, the maybe, guys who protested and then eventually got to live there.
Yes, yeah, there's quite a few of them. But
what is the...
Is there anything, I don't know, is there anything less punk than staging and winning a legal battle?
Yeah. But also wanting to live in Bloomsbury.
Yeah, there we go. We're fucking anarchists! Shit, this is comfortable. Yeah.
Reading their Virginia Woolf.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow, being a class trade is really fucking easy. What did we give you, a comfortable bed? Fucking hell!
What is the actual length of time? I know in Ireland, 12 years is the occupation period, that if you can prove that you've lived in some place for 12 years uninterrupted, then you actually get the title to the property.
Well, it didn't work in Australia. They'd been there 2,000 years and the English still took it.
I wouldn't say that the Aboriginals were squatting.
In fact, do you think it's the British were doing that? Coming to a place like Ireland and Australia and claiming squatters' rights of their own?
Well, it's going, oh, no one was in.
No one was in.
Well, that's what they did with Australia. It was empty when we were here.
We were here for 12 years and then we noticed you.
No one was using it. That's genuinely what they said. Terry Nullius. That was the.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
Terry Nullius. No one was there when we were there.
Terry Nullius.
Yeah, Terry Nullius. Yeah, the bloke we spoke to. Yeah, Greek fella came round.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Give us the keys. Oh, come
on,
come
on. Yeah, key holder,
Terry
Nullius.
An Australian Greek accent before anyone gets concerned as to what that's meant to be. I found this out over here because I'll bust that out because on the east coast of Australia, you get a lot of like second and third generation Italian and Greek migrants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the sort of stereotypical voice is going, what the fuck are you doing? Come over here. What's this? And I do this for people because they go, oh, they talk about Italy. And I start busting out what I think an Italian accent is. They sort of look at me like, what is that? What do you think you're doing?
I mean, your Greek-Australian accent is quite New York Jew.
Yeah.
You were talking about the Russell Square guys. I looked up a thing. Have you heard of Frestonia?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah, so
the Free Estonia movement, Frestonia.
No. Well, that may be what it
the
was.
The fruit juice, Frestonia.
No,
the Estonian
going.
Fruit juice,
no.
Frestonia.
It was the Frestonian version of Umbongo.
Oh, right, hang on. The shitty Chinese knockoff of the Flintstones, the Frestonian. The Frestonian museum where these squatters lived.
No. But keep going.
Isn't Frestonia the country in Duck Soup, the Marx Brothers?
No,
one?
That's Fredonia.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Are you sure it's not Frestonia? Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, say how you met Lydia. Lydia, the tattooed lady. It's nice of your uncle to drop her. Anyway.
Oh my god, Frestonia.
Is Frestonia none of those things?
Frestonia is none of those things.
That's so disappointing.
Frestonia is where Tony the Tiger lives. No.
Who the fuck?
Frestonia.
Frestonia, the snowman.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his magic hat. Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the actual Frestonia.
Oh, the actual Frestonia.
The actual Frestonia.
I'm sick of your knockoff
Frestonia.
This will
be such a letdown.
It's similar to the Russell Square thing. I didn't know about this. In 1977, a bunch of squatters in near Notting Hill declared Frestonia an independent nation from the United Kingdom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were they just in a house in Notting Hill?
No, in like a whole sort of like communal area. It was about 120 different residents of actors and writers, and amazingly, the Tory Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, Sir Geoffrey Howe, wrote a letter of support going, yeah, I'm fine with that. And they even elected like a foreign minister who would basically turn up and debate with members of the Greater London Council as though they were like he was a foreign dignitary chatting to them.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did they have a national anthem?
No, but they did have a national motto, right, which was Nos sumus una familia, which is we are
family.
Exactly.
Nos una familia. I got all my sisters with me.
Well, they said they were going to apply to join the United Nations, and they also warned that peacekeeping troops might have to come in to keep the Greater London Council at bay. So that would have been an amazing sight, like the blue-hatted peacekeeping troops on one side and Sister Sledge on the other, facing off against each other. It eventually fizzled out in 1982.
Where is it? Where are the borders of it? Can we go on a field trip?
If you take the number 295 bus,
yeah,
then you can, or you get off at Latimer Road Underground Station.
Right.
But it had its own gallery, it had its own theatre where plays were performed, The Clash recorded.
Hang on, you say it had its own guys. It stole its own gallery from London.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But yeah, it got to a stage where the Frestonian nation sort of disintegrated, not into civil war, just to gentrification.
North Frestonians, Southern Frestonians.
Yeah.
The independent Free State of Frestonia.
Well, actually, there was a point at which, you know, the Northern Line would recognise Northern Frestonia, but the Metropolitane wouldn't. It was all
Metropolitan.
The Metropolitan.
That was the Emperor in the London remake of Star Wars.
I'm going to tell you, though, about my suggestion for the world's worst housemate, and it's a gentleman called Theodore Edward Conies. September 1941, he thought he was...
Hang on, his name's Theodore Edward?
Yeah.
So Teddy.
Teddy Teddy Conies.
Two Teds.
Yeah, the old scout motto, Teddy Teddy Conies. Isn't that the camp where Jason killed all of those campers in Friday the 13th? Don't they go down to Lake Teddy Teddy Conies?
Oh, Teddy Teddy Conies.
Sure. Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
So he fell on hard times. He went to visit his old friend Philip Peters, who he hadn't seen for a while, and he got to a house, the house which is in Denver, Colorado, and he found it empty and unlocked because Peters had gone out to see his wife, who was in hospital with a broken hip. So our hero, Double Teddy, goes in there, lets himself inside.
The one-man tag team, Double Teddy.
He held the championship for just 67 days before losing to the Legion of Doom.
Who had the tactical advantage of being two different men.
Oh, imagine his tragedy was he thought he was two different people.
Shut up, Eddie. Shut up, Teddy.
So hang on, he went to this place where the woman, wife was in hospital, he was visiting her.
Yeah, and he goes in there, and Conies notices a small door that leads to a tiny attic room. And just want to point out at this stage, guys, we are not, repeat, not in a fairy tale written by the Brothers Grimm.
What year is this?
This is the year 1941.
Right.
So he goes in there, and he decides that because he's a homeless guy, he would rather live in the attic room than on the streets during a harsh winter. Uh-huh. So what happens, whenever his mate Peters left the house... Teddy Conies would slip out of the hiding spot, help himself to some food, use the bathroom, and then go back and hide in the attic.
Wow.
This lasted for about 6 weeks till the middle of October. And on that day, Teddy Conies slipped out of his attic room and started cooking. However, his mate, Philip Peters, hadn't gone out. He was actually napping, and he was startled by Teddy Conies. He woke up, Conies attacked Peters, and pistol-whipped the 73-year-old man to death.
Fuck!
Yeah. What? Instead of fleeing the scene, he panicked and just went back to his hiding spot. So when the police came round and were called and they discovered the body, they were like, well, this makes no sense because all the doors and windows are locked. So how did the killer get in?
This calls for Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. Basically, a little bit later, Peter's wife returns home from hospital. Mm-hmm. Her and her friends and all the housekeepers are really freaked out because they're like, this house is definitely haunted because my husband died here and we can hear things in the walls and the attics. And eventually... 11 months later, while the police are staking out the house, they see a curtain move in the attic, which exposes Coney's face. And they raid the house, find the attic room, bring him out there, and he is arrested and convicted of murdering his best mate.
Oh, wow.
And he died 26 years later in a prison hospital. Yeah.
Did they know he was in the hospital?
Yeah. No, he was actually hiding in a supplies cupboard.
They gave him a cell, but he thought it was too comfortable.
Yeah.
Christ.
That's mad.
Yeah.
But hang on. Why were they staking out the house convinced there was someone in it? Had the woman forgotten she had an attic room?
I don't know.
How bad were they at searching this place?
I mean, I'm guessing it was like... Yeah.
Or did they think they found a dead body in a house that was locked? Oh, it's one of these lateral thinking puzzles.
Yeah.
Hang on, they're both fish. No, that's not it.
I read one of these in the back of the Times.
Yeah, I have to ask him a question where he'll tell the truth and she'll tell a lie. Like, if I asked you, was there a man hiding in the attic who murdered your husband, what would you say?
Yes, when the two trains depart, which one arrives first? Yeah.
On the Unprofessional Engineering Podcast, we ask the tough questions.
You have an RSS feed that you still follow?
Well, no, I,
really?
I wasn't sure what the right term was. I was just kind of...
I didn't know you could still do that.
Shut up. We cover the most relevant topics.
Some German dude invented this in 1440.
Yeah, I hope if I ever have to have any kind of procedure that they would practice on a perfectly printed 3D model of myself.
The internal combustion engine versus the steam engine?
Big buckets.
Big buckets.
Exothermic reaction, eh?
Wow. Look at that.
Boom.
Science.
It's an option to dig without dynamite, but you can't do that.
One of the last beers I drank had Scrapple in it.
We spin all things engineering in a manner we can all debate.
One more thing. This one will really make you not feel good.
The Unprofessional Engineering Podcast, beam to your headphones weekly, SoundCloud and iTunes.
Well, at least no one dies in this story, and we're not
that,
in...
that might harm your chances of winning, though.
Well, no. I mean, because this at least, okay, comes to us not from the year 1942, but rather, God, about 2015,
okay,
in London. And this is a story that I was told today, mm-hmm, by a friend of mine who heard that I was coming and was sort of like, well, you want to, I'll give you a worst housemate story. And the thing is, I've heard this story before, and I was just like, no, just tell it to me again. And they're very, very pleased that it will have some degree of a public airing.
Brilliant.
So, like, removing all names from this, because everyone involved is still alive and easy, quite easy to find, as no one has discovered the attic room. This is the go. So a friend of mine moves down to London from up north a few years ago, and immediately falls into that kind of shitty London accommodation that you find quite rapidly. Where there, you know, it's a room that's being illegally sublet.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, nothing wrong with that. except the law. Anyway, down goes, you know, Christ, and then, you know, you sublet one room, they declare it a fucking nation. It's so annoying. Anyway, all these punks together, oh, they've got a minister. Anyway, she moves into this house with this woman, and what you've got here is, it's just one of those arrangements where all of the walls are incredibly thin and the place is just absolutely tiny. And mm-hmm, so it's a bedroom next to a bedroom, and there's your kitchen and your bathroom. And what immediately happens is that the woman who's flat, you know, the woman who's the head renter of the flat and ostensibly the only other person there, decides that my friend is the worst housemate who's ever lived. And the reason she does this is because my friend doesn't buy organic food. Now, what this means, and this is expressed not through anything passive-aggressive, but through genuine naked hostility, as in bursting into a room going, what are you doing? Why aren't you buying organic food? Don't you know that non-organic food grows like a mushroom inside you, like a cancer mushroom, and like throwing her food out and all this shit. So, of course, my friend starts starving and is fucking traumatized by this idiot. Anyway, a guy moves in, and it's this woman's brother, right? And he, you know, the main woman goes, look, he's going to be staying on the floor in my room until he gets back on his feet. Hey, which is, you know, what? Nice turn of phrase. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, he's going to be there, and that's going to be that. And what my friend says is that as the weeks go by, she becomes aware that some very odd noises are starting to come from that room. And apparently the brother's a gamer, right? Mm-hmm. So she, you know, a lot of the noises, she's like, oh, okay, you know, right, whatever that is. It's Call of Duty. It's whatever. As the months go on, the noises become increasingly nakedly sexual. And so this is something I love, because my friend's English, and so being English, she's sort of not presumed the worst, but she's kind of gone, well, you know, in fact, the opposite. She's just gone running, if not for the best, at least for neutrality. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, I've heard some sexual noises. He must be watching porn. That's about as far as the brain has gone.
Yeah. This the most polite English.
The most polite English. Yeah. Okay, the brother and the sister, they share that room. I think the sister's out. I can hear sexual noises. The brother must be watching porn. Anyway, one day, yep, yeah, it's going where you think it's going. So one day,
turn around, I don't want to go there.
One day, my friend, very much like the man who ended up being beaten to death because he didn't go out, my friend...
That's the parable we're after.
Yeah, there you go. My friend leaves, but forgets something. And comes back, whereupon she sees her housemate standing naked in the doorway of her room, because she's just nipping down to the shower, and the brother naked in bed behind her. Now, at this point, my friend, and this is just genuine, like, and now we're leaping for, I've seen something I can't process, so where does her brain go? She thinks, well, the woman is of... I don't know what her nationality is, but she's meant to be from some country in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so my friend goes, well, maybe I just misunderstood. Maybe she said brother. Maybe she said boyfriend. But then she goes, but I've met her boyfriend. Right. A few weeks go by. a party is held at the house involving the family of this woman, whereupon my mate meets this woman's mother and says, how many kids do you have? And the mother goes, oh, I got seven, and including these two over here. And so it was confirmed. So at this point, it's 100% confirmed that those noises you're hearing in the next room, that is 100% full-blown incest is going on in the next room over here, right? So my friend goes, you know what? I'll put up with a lot, but London's fucking weird, right? I mean, God, you know, she's from a fucking village in the north. If you were going to fuck someone, you'd known them since you were, you know, since you were both at school, right? So this is weird. So she says to the woman, I'm going to move out. The woman says, good, you've been an awful housemate this entire time. And again, again with the fucking, why don't you eat organic food? Because it makes you fuck your brother, apparently. Okay? So my friend leaves, all right? and it's, the story's got a postscript, and it's kind of cool. She leaves. She goes back a few days later after she's, like, gathered the first amount of her stuff because she has to pick up the rest of it. And she's gone back specifically to retrieve her ironing board. Right,
she goes, please tell me they haven't been
fucking on the ironing board. Not only are they incestuous, they're very agile and light. These people, right. Every surface in danger,
yes.
At any point of being a ground for inbreeding.
How did you end coitus? Well pressed.
So she goes back. She picks up her ironing board, and in a reversal of, oh, they thought I was out, so they came out naked. She didn't think anyone was in. She turns around. Oh, there she is. Lady Incest is home, right? And begins with the, you've been a terrible housemate. I'm so happy you're leaving. You've been appalling this whole time. You were rude to everybody. You don't eat organic food. You know, all of this. And my mate has the ironing board in her hand and goes, okay. And I've known my friend a few years, and when she begins an okay, it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. And it starts with, now, I haven't told anyone that you're illegally subletting your flat.
What a place to start!
Which is a good beginning. Yeah. Followed by, I haven't told anybody about the insurance claim you made on your car when you said it had been broken into, but really your boyfriend had just kicked the windows in. And also, I hate to tell you this, but I know you're fucking your brother. And then the girl went, like, backed off, like, oh, fuck. And as my friend said to me today, it is very hard to walk down a spiral staircase holding an ironing board and trying to look as triumphant as I felt. So just imagine, I've got you, incest girl. Excuse me. Ah, fuck.
Yeah, that's Brettick. We've done, this is the 77th episode we've released.
To involve incest.
It's the first one that's involved incest.
It pretty much is, yeah.
Good lord. And not sort of like documentary incest. This was verbatim incest.
Yeah.
You're two steps from incest.
Oh, at any time.
At any time.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen my cousins. Fuck, they're beautiful.
I thought you meant that in the same way, like, oh, you're only ever 6 feet away from a rat in London.
you're only ever two steps from incest. Look, society is one hot meal away from incest at any time.
Like, listeners, John is rocking a look that I describe as sort of Mad Max Jamie Lannister.
Oh, I like that. Well, I actually just quietly, just because I meant, fuck it. Yeah, why not? Here we go. This is just on the fucking off chance, just because I mentioned my cousin jokingly. I legitimately have no idea where one of my cousins is. She's gone off to America somewhere. No one knows where she is. I'm not going to mention her by name, but if you'd just like to check in with us, that'd be fucking great.
Okay.
We would just like to know that you're not in a house where there's brother-sister fucking going on. That's all we want to know. Just
are you eating organic food?
Are you eating organic food? Because, well, don't eat organic food. God's sake, it's more expensive, and look what it does to you. Yeah.
Listen, if you are there, John's cousin, worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com. It'll be an unlikely way for you to get in contact with the Robertson clan.
Oh, we're like a carton of milk now. With her like face stuck on the side of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the listening quality is shit. My mates just texted me and go, did you tell them the incest story? That's pretty good.
I read about some famous people who lived together, people who were housemates. Michael Douglas and Danny DeVito lived together back in the 60s. John Stewart and disgraced New York Congressman Anthony Weiner.
As in comedian John Stewart.
As in comedian Daily Show John
Stewart.
That's
perfect.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, perfect. That's great. Tommy Chong, as in Chong from Cheech and Chong, shared a cell with Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street, when they were in prison together.
Wow. To be a fly on that wall.
Yeah, a very stone fly. And maybe my favourite ones, when they were at Harvard, Al Gore and Tommy Lee Jones were roommates.
Wow.
Yeah, they even put on a musical review together.
Called An Inconvenient Tune.
The Odd Couple, the film.
Yeah.
Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. That was released in 1968. It has probably the longest gap between original and sequel, still starring the main characters of any film ever, because there was a second Odd Couple film made in 1998.
Yeah.
Well, Odd Couple 2.
Sequels and remakes are happening. The gap in between is getting shorter and shorter and shorter until soon they're going to make the remake before they make the original of certain films.
Yeah. The residents of Kensington Palace are getting new housemates, Ben.
Okay.
Because Harry and Meghan, the Suffolks, are going to move in.
Suffolks and the Cambridges.
Which means the Gloucesters are going to have to move. The Duke and Duchess of Gloucester are vacating the apartment Harry and Meghan are going to move into. So the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester, their kids are grown up, so they can cope with a smaller space, so they're going to have to move into the former apartment of the Queen's private secretary instead.
God, I hate the royal family. I hate them so much.
Other residents of Kensington Palace include, as you know, William and Kate. Prince and Princess Michael of Kent live in there. The Duke and Duchess of Kent. Eugenie and her fiancé, Jack Brooksband. The most annoying of them, probably the Prince and Princess Michael of Kent, because they've been living in Kensington Palace since the late 70s. And until the 2000s, they were only paying about £67 a week in rent.
It's like
the Queen was just footing the bill for them.
Footmoning the bill. It's like, it's more of a continental thing than a British thing. If you know, when you go, when I went did a French exchange when I was 14, and I was fascinated that they had the main family house, and you opened up the door, and it's where the grandparents lived, and you opened up another door, and it's where the uncles and aunts lived.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a strangely continental thing for the British royals to do.
Very posh one of them. Well, given half of them are German, you know.
Yeah, good point.
Greek. Did you watch The Young Ones? Yeah, of course I did.
Mm-hmm.
How many housemates were there in the...
Oh,
clever, because you have the extra one, the secret one.
Yes. You know about this?
Yep.
Good, yeah.
I forget who played him.
Oh, was it a him?
There is no... So I didn't know about this until today, I'm researching this. So the famous young ones are Neil and Rick and Vivian and Mike the Cool Person.
Yeah.
And there is a secret fifth housemate.
Did they speak about?
No, it's just in the background. And it looks like Cousin It from the Addams Family, or like the girl from The Grudge. It's just a figure with long hair over their face, hunched in, like you can see them in the back of shots or under the stairs or behind a chair, and never referenced at all by any of the characters.
Do we know who played him?
No, it might have been a him or a her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, never defined.
I read an article about it, and the guy who wrote the article emailed Ben Elton to ask about it, and Ben Elton was like, no, there were four housemates and the landlord. So either Ben Elton is preserving a secret, or it was a joke that the directors were playing, because I read an interview with Jeffrey Posner, who was one of the directors, and he said, oh yeah, I was going through a phase of having stuff in the background.
Yeah.
Like of having old ladies being beaten up outside the pub and things like that. And he said he thought it would be fun to have some ghostly figure in the background of some scenes that was never explained or talked about. And deliberately had the hair over the face so you couldn't recognise their gender or anything as well. But he said, obviously, back in those days, before YouTube and everything, you only saw it once.
Yeah, so, of course. Like, people didn't pour over it.
Yeah, exactly. You were talking about, obviously, housemates having sex can be annoying. If you've stayed in the Olympic Village in Pyeongchang, the most recent ones, they handed out 110,000 condoms, which works out at 37 per athlete.
They are high performance.
Bearing in mind, of course, that not all the athletes have penises. Yeah, apparently that's up 10,000 condoms on the previous Olympics as well.
Awesome.
So yeah. Obviously Winter Olympics will probably need to keep warmer for longer.
You gotta do something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think really what BBC, ITV and Sky need to get into their future contracts for the Olympics is cameras in all of the Olympic Village bedrooms.
Yeah.
Because what do I really want to watch? The 4x100 meter relay or a Swiss pole vaulter banging a Chilean curling expert?
Yeah, well, that's what I kind of want to see is the really athletic one. Like, I wonder who they pair up with, because this is something I feel must happen, right? You go down to the Olympics, right? And here are all of these highly trained athletes, you know, and weightlifters look like weightlifters, and shot putters look sort of a bit like weightlifters, and all of this, and then the shooting guys show up like, okay, yep.
In their coats.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but the shooting guys, they just go out and try and hunt the weightlifters.
Yeah.
And they pose with a photo on the corpse of who's Becky weightlifter.
Do you think it's like when they breed horses and they go, okay, well, this one's got really good stamina and this one's very powerful, so we'll put that stallion with that mare because they'll produce a good long distance. So get, okay, so we want someone who's a good 800-meter runner, so we get, like, Mo Farah and... like one of the very good female sprinters, and we pair them up together.
Are you suggesting that the legacy of the Olympics is eugenics?
It's not the only poor legacy the Olympics has left.
True.
To be fair, there must be slash fiction written about athletes, because it's written about everyone else.
I'm sure there must be. Yeah, yeah.
Slash fiction.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, very, you know, very much an internet thing of what if this fucked this. It's all present. There has to be there about athletes.
That'll be our post-show reading.
Yes. A reading from the Book of Mo.
The story of Mo. I'd read about a couple of rulers, because it wouldn't be an episode of Worst Foot Forward without a couple of mad kings.
Yeah.
Justin II, ruler of Byzantium, 6th century emperor, he not only did he lose most of the Roman Empire, but he heard voices. He was very mentally ill. And the voices were so apparent to him that he used to scream all night and hide under his bed to try and get away from them. And the only way that he could be calmed was for his servants to play organ music really loud throughout the palace to help drown out the sound of the voices that he was hearing, which obviously wasn't great for all the other residents of the palace.
No, but you're not going to ask the king to pipe it down.
yeah, very good.
Well, I'll pipe it down. I see what. Yeah.
Oh shit! No, yeah, that was.
Oh, you didn't even realize.
Didn't
it was
even
saying.
Realize it did it.
The dead you're genes. That good. Are coming.
Not only that, during the daytime when he was distressed, they would wheel him around on a throne. They'd put wheels on. So, like, when the baby's a bit distressed and you take him for a walk in the buggy outside, that's the same sort of thing. But the worst was when he was upset, he would bite his servants on the head.
Wow, he makes George III seem positively friendly.
Yeah,
to be fair,
yeah.
If I heard that much organ music, I'd step by.
And King Christian VII of Denmark. We talked about him in our World's Worst Friendship episode. He's the one that he was usurped by his doctor who got shacked up with the queen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Christian VII, he used to throw food at dinner guests. He then, later in life, developed a fascination with his own penis and engaged in chronic masturbation to the detriment.
Later in life.
I might remember the first time I saw mine. Christ.
It's a funny name for your penis.
Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, a lot of wood involved. Yeah. A lot of wood. There's two other ones on either side.
Christian VII would also leapfrog over visiting dignitaries when they knelt in front of him.
That's awesome.
And also did the thing that if you were a king, you would definitely do, which is just randomly slap people in the middle of conversations. And then presumably then gaslight them and they're going, what did you do that for? You're like, do what?
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's but properly randomly, as in
just you'd be chatting with them and just go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's right. Now pretend that didn't happen.
Remember, I'm your king.
Yeah.
That basically what God is doing with natural disasters?
Yeah. But remember, I'm still benevolent.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've gone to the natural world for my world's worst housemate. I'm going to talk about cuckoos.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So there are about 60 species of cuckoos that are brood parasites, is what they call animals, which eject other eggs in favour of their own or so on. So one of the things I read was that cuckoos have to be, like, really strategic about how they get their eggs into other birds' nests. So some cuckoos will, the male will distract the birds away from their nest, and then the female cuckoo sneaks in and has developed a way of laying the egg really quickly. So she hops in the nest, dumps the egg, gets back out before the other birds come back, and going, God, that was really weird the way that cuckoo tapped us on the shoulder and made us look the other way for a second.
So its tactic is basically pantomime.
Yeah, yeah. Some cuckoos lay eggs that look very like their host eggs. Some of them lay eggs that look nothing like their host egg. There's some that will lay really dark eggs in amongst bright ones, but they'll do them in nests which are made of really dark wood, so they'll hope the egg sort of blends into the background, which I really like. Actually, someone did a study in 2014 about crow's nests that had cuckoo eggs in them. The crow's nests that had cuckoo eggs in them, they were more likely to produce healthy crow babies. They think it's because the cuckoos have a really strong scent which deters normal predators away from the crow. So actually it turned out that it was a good thing for the crows to leave this cuckoo in there because its smell was making predators stay away.
Because a cuckoo smell is given off and the predators smell it and just go, oh, they smell crazy. We're not going near them.
There's no eggs there.
Do you know what the most famous cuckoo on screen is?
What an interesting beginning.
Yeah.
Do all of your dates start that way?
Yeah, that's my go-to icebreaker question.
Yeah, exactly.
We've done the where you're from, what you do.
Yeah, I was unfamiliar with the idea that there were, you know,
any famous cuckoos.
Any famous cuckoos at all, but this is the most famous.
Is it very famous?
One that flew over the nest.
Oh, that's very good.
John.
Is it? Is it the Milos Forman?
No, it's the Roadrunner. A Roadrunner is a type of cuckoo.
Oh, I did know that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Laying its egg in coyote nests.
No wonder the coyote's angry.
Yeah, that's probably what's happened. But my favourite thing about cuckoos is this thing I read, is that there's a thing called the mafia hypothesis.
Because the mafia doesn't exist. There we are. That's why it's a hypothesis right there. You just remember that, young man.
Omerta to you.
Omerta, son. There we are.
Basically, some cuckoos, as I said, are really sneaky about how they get their eggs into other birds' nests. Others will lay their egg in a bird's nest and will basically hang around on the corner of the tree, just checking that the birds haven't ejected the egg from their nest. Because if they do, the cuckoos are going to come and smash up your eggs.
I thought you were going to say they were going to leave a vole's head in the nest.
they'll genuinely just make them their presence felt. That's what you're going to do. Be a shame if anything happened to those eggs of yours. And so birds just like are intimidated into looking after the cuckoo's egg, the great spotted cuckoo, which is in Europe. And then there's an American bird, the brown-headed cowbird. They're particularly fond of this sort of tactic. The European one particularly does it to magpies. And you think magpies are quite able to handle themselves. They look like they would, but
they just get
on with it.
Your magpies are weak here. You have nothing on the Australian magpie. They have a narrower head. They are genuinely vicious and they wouldn't stand for any of this bullshit.
Yeah, but that's because those magpies have to deal with poisonous flying bats and...
Or they have their own version of the Untouchables, or they can handle like the mafia, and that's Elliot Ness. I'm so sorry.
Christ, so sorry. No.
How are you feeling after that one, Ben?
I'm stealing it for when the little one's a little bit older. That's a pun that's going to take a lot of background teaching for my child.
Yeah, I got a text to me like 8 years time. You go, finally drop the Elliot Ness joke. Last couple of things about cuckoo. Other animals that in practice brood parasitism. There are cuckoo wasps and cuckoo bees. So there's some bees, bumblebees. The queen will fly into a nest, kill the resident queen, and then just let the workers feed her instead and feed her offspring, which is pretty terrifying. And some ducks also do it, notably the golden.
Well, they fly into the duck nest. They'll kill the other duck.
This is my favourite one of all. The golden-eye duck, which is ostensibly monogamous and only has one partner for life, occasionally engages in affairs.
The golden-eye duck?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's because of the multiplayer is better than the
And when it engages in these affairs, the female will fly off, lay its egg in another duck's nest and leave it there, so it's destroying the evidence of her affair.
Wow!
Yeah, so it's like shoving a baby in a basket and leaving it on the steps of a convent or something.
This duck knows how to handle it.
Yeah.
Where do we find this duck?
I think they're quite widespread, the golden eyes. Like North America, I think, especially.
Well.
My favorite thing is
you thinking of having a little affair with a golden eye duck?
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, if
They know they'll keep it on the DL.
Well, the trouble with bestiality is that people tend to get caught. You know? Your dog wags a suspiciously large amount when it sees you. This kind of thing. But this duck, oh, fucking hell. I'll never find the egg.
Our three candidates for the world's worst housemate are Theodore Edward Conies, Teddy Eddie Conies, of Denver, Colorado, who murdered his unsuspecting housemate, Lady Incest, as you have dubbed her.
Yep, Lady Incest.
Of London.
Of London.
Circa 2015.
Why aren't you eating your organic food?
Yeah. Organic food / brotherfucker.
Lady Incest does sound like something that's on in one of the smaller theatres at the National, doesn't it?
Oh, we adore Lady Incest. The well-known restoration.
Yeah. And Cuckoos, obviously. It's a wide-ranging...
Yeah.
Selection.
Yeah, you're out, son.
I think genuinely, lie, yeah.
I think
but also we've proven that sometimes having a cuckoo in your nest can be a good thing.
Yeah, that was an error.
So
yes, which is why next week this podcast will be hosted by John and two other people wearing a mask of John's face.
That's everything I've ever wanted. Yeah.
I love Teddy Eddie, but largely for his name.
Yeah.
But also, he seems to be an unwitting housemate.
Yeah.
Like, he more an intruder than a housemate.
Just a long-form intruder.
Whereas Lady Incest...
Lady Incest, the brother...
Genuine
fucker.
Housemate.
Lady like Incest, genuine... who wields her magical sword, the brother...
congratulations, John.
Thank you.
Hands down... hands down, arsehole.
Keep your hands where I can see them.
Lady Incest is our world's worst housemate. Before we go, I've got to give you some of the world's worst news of the week. That comes from the Metro. News from Iran. Brigadier General Gholam Reza Jalabi, everyone's favourite member of the Iranian Civil Defence Organisation. He has accused Israel of cloud theft. Have you read this?
I did read about this.
He says foreign interference is suspected to have played a role in climate change. He's basically accused Israel and neighbouring countries of affecting clouds that pass over Iran to stop them raining on them and causing the drought that Iran is in the middle of.
Yeah, well, it's what the Israeli government do. They've stolen the clouds from above Iran and then disguised them as Hasidic beards.
He's also said that they're guilty of snow theft because there's snow on most mountains from basically Afghanistan to the Mediterranean, apart from those in Iran. Iran's Met Office issued a statement saying the general probably has documents of which we're not aware, but also this is impossible. Before we go, John, where can people find out more about you and your work?
Twitter is Robotron, Robotron. I've headed to thejohnrobertson.com. There's all sorts of good stuff there. And yeah, I'm touring around with The Dark Room and with my stand-up, but all the details again on thejohnrobertson.com.
Lovely. Meanwhile, we're all off to attend the world premiere of Accidental Hitler in the cinema in Frestonia. Join us again next week on Worst of Forward. Goodbye.
Yeah, was that good for you, mate?
It was excellent for me, thank you.
Hi, excellent, I'm Dad. I waited all fucking podcast.
So that was John, and what I'd really like to do is create a Worst Foot Forward megacut where he tells his story while Serge Gainsbourg's Lemon Incest plays underneath it as a creepy bed.
Knowing what John was like but having not met him, he was everything I'd hoped for and more.
He's remarkable. The man is a Victorian carnival barker with an astonishing intellect and quite the way with a story.
I feel like we should introduce him to Kiri because he might go like straight to the top of one of her lists of potential potential Jack the Rippers.
Yeah, no, he's got that aura, but he's at heart a marvellous guy who wouldn't harm a fly.
Yeah, he was great.
So we're delighted to say, for the third week running, we're able to say thank you to people for donating to our Patreon page. So thank you to Johnny Rex and Stephen Chlebek. This is the fun of it. I get to say surnames that I don't know how to pronounce, but I gave it the full Eastern European Jew on that one. They've donated at our second lowest tier of $3. Not holding it against them at all, just letting you know that that exists, because for that they get a couple of things. This shout out, and they are getting all of our extra bonus material that we pop up on Patreon once a month.
Yeah, we just literally today, when we're recording this, have given our
first bit of extra content to our Patreon subscribers. An extra episode I put together, 15 minutes, with an excellent story from Angela Barnes talking about the time she appeared on Deal or No Deal. And also lots of really bad attempts at opening episodes by both Ben and Ben. One from me, but mainly Ben.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear us making fools of ourselves, if you donate to us on Patreon, you too can receive little bonus tidbits like that.
You are also going to get the benefit of donating on Patreon, because we know that not everyone can. Because we've reached our first goal of 10 Patreon donors, we are going to record our very first one-off exclusive episode where we dive deeper into the history and arcane stories of one of our winners. And we think we're going to do a Monopoly based one, since Monopoly won our World Cup of Worst.
Yeah, I don't know why we're going to do this to ourselves, given we both hate the game Monopoly
so much.
So yes, go check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/worstfoot, where you can read out about all of the possible rewards and find out how you can help us to keep making this silly podcast.
Yeah, one last wee thing about Patreon. A couple of people who donated a little bit more have also suggested future topics. So thanks to Catherine Pugh and Aubrey Vora, we're going to be doing episodes on the world's worst death scene and the world's worst lullaby, which I think are going to be great fun. And just, you know, our next goal is 25 patrons, so just 13 more of you, and we will do two things. We will release another exclusive episode where we drill down into a former winner, and we'll also start working on our book. We're really excited to do this because, don't know about you, Barry, my favourite thing in the podcast is finding weird untold stories from history.
Yeah.
And takes a bit of time and research, and that's where the fun of Patreon comes in. So if you've listened to us, you've thought, I quite dig this show, I'd love to chuck those guys the price of a pint a month, why not do it now?
Sometimes I enjoy their stories, but wish it wasn't them telling it. So if I could read about them rather than hearing them... That's what the book will allow you to do. So that's patreon.com/worstfoot. The usual other stuff, you can still find us on Twitter at worstfoot, on Facebook, just look for Worstfoot Forward. Send us an email to worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com if you have suggestions for topics, guests, any questions about the stuff we're doing. Oh yeah, I remember what the other thing is. I'm going to be moving house soon.
Oh gosh, yes,
hopefully,
of course.
Hopefully. Touching all of the wood in the room. So yes, my husband and I are looking, and we will be moving much further away from Ben. So one of the things you'll be able to do by donating to us on Patreon is help with all the travel expenses.
Yeah, well, we're hopeful that we're very good pals with the nice people at Angel Comedy, which, if you don't know about it, is one of the most incredible comedy venues in London. They've got a podcast recording space which they hire out to people, so we will probably use that to record on neutral ground, where neither of us can decapitate each other either.
Yeah, exactly. So our guest next week is TBC at the moment, but there will be one. We've just got two or three people we're juggling around.
Yeah. By the way, that's not the initials for Tuberculosis Charlie, who is the brother of Typhoid Mary.
We're going to have to get a second microphone for him.
Yeah, yeah. And a second room.
Worst Foot Forward is part of Podnose, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. For episode archives of Worst Foot Forward and all of the shows on the network, visit us at www.podnose.com. You can also follow us on Twitter via @podnose or send us an email via admin@podnose.com.